Welcome to the Awakening Conversations podcast, where we dive into the many aspects, challenges, and life-changing lessons that are part of our spiritual awakenings. Through conversations, we are looking to bring you wisdom and perspectives so that you feel more supported and connected as you navigate your own awakening path. We are your hosts, Kate McGee and Amanda Richardson-Meyer. We've both been through our own unique awakening journeys that have changed and transformed our lives. And through these awakening conversations, we will be growing and expanding alongside you. We're so glad to have you join us. Let's dive in. Welcome back to the Awakening Conversations podcast. My name is Kate and I'm here with my co-host Amanda. Today we are diving into a conversation about the power that we hold in times of chaos, turbulence, and pure crazy making. While it might seem like the world is burning to the ground, and we're not going to go into the specifics of what are happening in this moment because things are changing day by day, we really want to speak to the energy of the larger picture of this great awakening we're going through, and as I said, the chaos that it's bringing. But more importantly, what are our roles? What do we do in this time? How is it possible for us truly to be anchoring in anything new and positive in a world that seems like it's just negative and fear-based? We have more power than we realize, and it's really a pivotal moment for us to remember the truth of who we are and how we can do that. How do we remember who we are? How do we take action? How do we create new? How do we hold a vision for something else? How do we play a role in the changing of the times that is an antidote and a salve and a lifeline for others, perhaps, in this time of great change? So this is a conversation you don't want to miss. Amanda, we said this last week, what a crazy time it is to be living, and wow, things just keep moving and shaking and shifting. I know for myself that these past few months, I have definitely been experiencing the visceral sense that fear in the collective can have on me personally. And it's felt very much at times like an inability to do anything, an inability to move, an inability to maybe feel hopeful, and really just actually feeling that sense of fear and like, holy shit. What we really want to chat about today is, well, yes, that is the goal of fear. Fear is to stop us in our tracks. And the way that we really come into a place where we can navigate this time is by a really big remembering. And so, yeah, let's dive into what in God's name are we talking about when we say it's a time of remembering? Remember what? How do we humans navigate this awakening journey, this big, big moment of transition? Where would you like to start our conversation today?
I'm passing the decision to me, huh?
Yeah. Or I can.
That's okay. It's okay.
Yeah.
So I agree with you in terms of having a similar experience of struggling in the past few weeks, maybe months, probably past month, I'd say, in terms of sensing something as an energetically sensitive person. I have been busy, but also I think the energy of what's going on out there has impacted me. And you and I kind of broke down at a similar place in time where for myself, I was feeling a little bit purposeless and lost. I'm like, what is my role? What am I doing here? And because if we are looking at what's happening in the outside world, we can feel pretty powerless in terms of how we can do anything to improve or impact what's going on. Because really on a doing level, we're not going to change those circumstances. And so what I've come to in my own process is that my work is really focusing on what I can focus on, focusing on my energetic state, focusing on where I give my energy, my time, my attention. Am I feeling paralyzed because I can't look away from the train wreck that is a new one every day or every 12 hours, it feels like. And I get to choose if I give my attention to that. But we can forget that, and we can live in our unconscious patterns that feel compelled to, maybe there's something in us that's slightly addicted to the drama. I had an interesting conversation last night with ChatGPT about, is the drama that's in our outside world, I was thinking specifically about YouTube. If no one was looking at the content that contains drama, there would be no one would be creating it because no one would be watching it. And so by watching it, we are perpetuating the drama. And so starting to, what role am I playing in feeding this beast? And so I think, like, really what we can do is only, like, go within and take stock, take responsibility, like clean house and get our house in order rather than feeling like the world outside is chaotic and therefore I have to feel chaotic too. That's, I feel, a choice that we get to, we make it unconsciously, but it's a choice nevertheless to allow that chaos to infiltrate our, I'll say, sanctuary. If we're not protecting it, we are letting that energy to enter our field. And if we had sovereignty over our person, our human, our body, our field, that's going to ripple out and have an effect within our family, within our community. And that's where we can make a difference from my perspective.
Yeah. And I think what I'd like to add to that, as you talk about that ripple effect with us cleaning house, we're talking about, I want to say, an energetic experience. So as I have been, you know, myself navigating, especially the last week since our last episode, really feeling like, okay, how do we do something? You know, in our last episode, I felt myself trying to find a solution, trying to find something that I could say, here's how we can, you know, do something that feels like it's changing things rather than, you know, yes, we talked about using our voices and that is a powerful piece, but isn't there more? And so what I sat with was some different content creators, channels. One of the people that I really like to learn from is Paul Selig, and it was such an important reminder for me of what this time is truly about, and to come back to this energetic piece, right? We are going through an awakening, and there's, you know, not just us individually, but as collectively we're going through awakening. You know, this is a time of great change. And something that he said in one of the recent talks, and we can link to the particular one because it's a free option so people can watch it and listen. This is a very, very necessary time for us as human beings to go through. And that doesn't make it easy because it's necessary, but what it is calling us to remember is the truth of who we are. We get very caught in this human self when we get caught in the fear, and we, as you said, let that fear and the narrative and the drama infiltrate our lives and our experience and our behaviors and our thought patterns, and then, you know, what that might do to the environments we're in. But it's also, this time is helping us to remember that we are divine beings. And I always feel so grandiose when I say that, spiritual and woo-woo, but if we really want to nail it down, like, this is a big, big spiritual growth period that we're going through collectively as human beings, is to remember there's this whole other part of who we are that is connected to something so much greater. And part of what that entails is, one, we have to remember who we are. We're energetic beings, and this comes back to your ripple effect. But two, not only am I one, but so are you. And so the people who are doing very crazy, weird, negative, fear-based, horrible, atrocious things to other human beings. And I said this to you before, that that's a bit of a head fuck, excuse my language, for the mind, for the human to be like, but these people are evil. These people, you know, don't have the best interests of other human beings at heart. And yet this is what fear does. And I mean, I feel a bit insane trying to say this, and, you know, I'm not a spiritual teacher. I'm just a learner. But that's separation, us and them. Divide, conquer, you know, I'm better than this person, or are my beliefs are the right beliefs. These are the wrong ones. But the thing, the power that shifts this and the highest, highest level, this is the journey we're going on, is that we are all divine beings and all divine creations. And it is this remembering of, for each and every one of us, or at least a whole bunch of us first, that holds that and can see the other as also that, and these experiences, that's also that part of this plan to wake us up, to remember that we're so much greater than the fear and the separation and the war and the fighting and the all of it. There's an energy balance and energy shift there. I'm like, even my hands want to do it. This is what we're currently experiencing, and we're moving to this other place where we don't even have to exist in this low energy, this fighting, this separation, because we remember we're all the same. Okay, we're here now, and this realization's over here. And so right now we're in this kind of space. And to come back to that ripple effect, just before I go off somewhere else, what you talked about there was like part of that ripple is us having this remembering, right? We're coming out of that fear. We're remembering that we're creators of our reality. We're remembering that our awareness is powerful. Our sense of truth is powerful. Our love is powerful. We put that out into the world as a sort of like offering to counter the dark, and we move in this direction. And as we move in that direction towards that higher vision, towards that bigger knowing, we're doing our healing work. We move from this denser energy, that lower vibration of being stuck in fear, which is very easy because it's heavy and it's hard to move out of. But it's that awareness and our remembering that helps us shift out, rise up, and on our way up, we act differently, as you said, to our family members, to the people in our community, to our friends, and we're bringing that energy more towards the light. So that is the ripple effect that we have by cleaning house, just to start, you know. And while that might sound like, and even for me, I contemplated this yesterday, like a fanciful idea, and like, oh, is that all I have to do is just remember this higher vision, it's so much more powerful than we think, because it's an energetic shift. It's a vibrational shift. And yeah, I'm going to pause there for a minute, see if there's anything you want to add on that.
Okay. What just popped into my head is I watched the movie Les Miserables, which I'd never seen, the musical version, and I loved it. It was so sad, like so much despair and suffering of humanity in this movie. They portrayed it so well. Not to go into the whole movie, but basically this person is enslaved for 20 years for stealing bread for his starving nephew. And then he finally becomes free, but then he is treated like dirt because he's a criminal. And so he has no food, he has no place to stay. And finally, a father, a priest, takes him in, feeds him. He's starving. He's just like scarfing it all down. And he lets him, you know, you can rest here, you can sleep here. And he wakes up and he's like, I gotta steal all your silver. So he steals all the silver after this man was so kind to him. And he leaves with a bag full of silver, and he gets picked up by someone and get brought in like, oh, this man stole your silver. And he said, oh no, he didn't. I gave it to him. And he's like, you forgot these. And he gives him two more candlesticks, and he tells him, now you must, I'm not going to say it correctly, but like, now is your chance. Use this to change your story, essentially. And he basically found God in that moment of forgiveness and love from this one person. And basically the whole movie is a ripple effect. What happened through that one act of grace from this person who was, you know, most people in a state of fear would react in the same energy of defensiveness. How dare you steal from me? Instead, he came from this higher place of, you are worthy. I see your value. And that allowed him to see his own value. He became a mayor. Like he saved another, you know, he did good things in the rest of his life as a result of this one act. And so it's like redemption for, you know, most people are lost after being treated like a dog your whole life and for 20 years of your life. And so to me, in that movie, like, there was all these instances of one person responding from a higher place. And it's like passing the baton of light to the other person. And we all have the ability to choose, you know, fear or love in this moment in time. How we do, you know, when we feel a moment where we want to react, where we want to attack someone, where we want to be defensive, do we do that? Or do we pause and we do the work to respond in a way to create a ripple for then, you know, maybe someone wronged us, and normally they would be met with a fear-based response. But if you meet them with love, that shows them, oh, like that shifts them. And then they pass that on to someone else. And that's a way that we think such little things have no impact, but we don't get to see or know how that one small act may have impacted. But if we're doing that all the time, like if we're always, the more we do it, the easier it is to respond in that way rather than react from that more reactive, primal, immediate response from our unconscious.
Yeah. And something that Paul Selig says all the time is fear seeks to create more fear, right? And in that example that you give there, that priest could have easily said, oh, yes, you did steal from me. That fear that is the stealing, the someone saying, oh, this person did that, could be like, oh, yes, well, you should go back to jail. That just breeds that cycle of fear and kind of that negative loop. And what you spoke to there is exactly that piece of, in that moment, of the priest like keeping his heart open. And this is part of the journey for ourselves in this moment, is we see the bad things, but we choose to keep our hearts open. We look at it, we acknowledge that it exists. We don't want to spiritually bypass in these moments. We don't want to just, you know, pretend it's not happening and turn away so that we don't feed the fear, because essentially that's also fear of the fear of seeing, you know, and I've had to have my journey with that. So, you know, we want to be able to see what's going on, recognize that it brings up fear in us, but we want to keep our hearts open, and that's hard. But when we keep our hearts open, just like this example, this story of this priest, we can have compassion and we can hold a higher, different view of what is unfolding in front of us. We can then, in that moment, experience ourselves as this other part of who we are, this more divine being who can feel compassion, have a sense of forgiveness, love, even in a moment where there's pain, there's hurt, there's fear, there's all the things we don't want in this world. But the way that we shift and change things so that these things that are, you know, negatively experienced by so many people and or put on to other people or are happening to other people is to move into that other way of responding to the old things that have happened, you know, to remember that this is a journey of coming to an open-hearted, compassionate place that is willing to forgive the dark so that other person can experience a sense of, as you said, grace and like love, you know. And it's so hard to say that word right now, like, because it feels like a Band-Aid, but it's not Band-Aid. It's this feeling of understanding and knowing that this person has had, you know, trauma or, you know, hasn't had the opportunity to know themselves in this way, but you seeing them in that way in their darkness is what opens the opportunity for them. And something else Paul Selig always says is like that higher energy, that higher vibration, the lower is always rising to the higher. So us being able to hold others in that light, to see situations in that light, as challenging as it can be, with our hearts open, we're putting that energy into that space, opening an opportunity for those that are very much feeling the fear to see and experience and feel something else on an energetic level, and in a way that we don't see this stuff happening, because it's energy, it's vibration, it's the other aspect of who we are, the non-physical part of who we are. And we're coming to remember that more and more and more. Anything else you want to add there, or take another tack?
Yeah, I want to speak to how do we do that, because yeah, it's easy to say, okay, stay in love, and we are being triggered right now. We are intentionally and for a reason, because in order for what's happening in the outside world to change and shift, it's by us doing this internal work. What's out there is a reflection of our internal worlds, and so we must go within, and like you said, not bypass it, not ignore our feelings, but we need to transmute it. And if we don't know how to do that, that's a skill that's really important that we start learning how to do, because yeah, I think nervous system and energy mastery is what this time is calling us to learn how to do, because we are contributing to what's out there by our reactions. I felt unconsciously wanting to react to things, to comments, and I'm like, what am I? I know this is not helpful. And so if we're not in aligned and in tune with our energy, what's out there is going to cause us to react, and we're going to feed that which we don't want to persist. We're going to keep looping in this cycle. And so it's up to us to recognize that we play a role in this. And so for me, what I've done, I'll just talk about myself in me recognizing, you know, one day I noticed, I'm like, oh, I want to respond to things that people are saying. And I'm like, no. I stop myself. What can I go do instead to remove myself from the situation? And I went and I meditated, and I pulled tarot cards, and I asked, like, what is my role in this? And it's like, it exactly told me that, no, you're not meant to be being pulled into this energy. You have a different reason for what you're supposed to be doing, and it's not feeding this beast. And so it was a good reminder where I stopped myself, but it's a practice, and it's work, and it's something that I feel like I've, especially since like 2020, been doing this work on and off again, more, sometimes more religiously or like consistently than others. But I think when the times get more intense is really the time to double down. I also had an interesting experience where, I don't know if I mentioned on the podcast, I don't think so, but I mentioned to you about, I was exploring my astrology more recently, and there's always new layers to be explored in astrology, right? Like, I feel like there's something, a new experience in life can open up a new layer. And so I saw this video on YouTube about the 12th house, and I knew I had my sun and moon in the 12th house. And so I watched it, and they said that this was something I had realized earlier in the week, that I really need to get back into my meditation practice. And they said, if you have your sun, if you have multiple planets, or you have your sun in the 12th house, you're going to be challenged if you do not have a spiritual practice in place. And I'm like, thank you for that confirmation. And so my point being is really, I guess, getting to know what we need personally. I was talking with a friend the other day, and she's like, meditation is not where, it's not how I get centered, like it's through my body. And that video from this astrologer really helped me see, it's like that we each have a different design. And he said, if you're have your, you know, if you have predominance in other houses, that's your spiritual work. It's like, maybe it's through your family or through your career. Like, that's where your spiritual mission and work and cultivation is. And so for me, realizing that, like, that meditation is actually very essential for me in feeling grounded and centered and having aligned energy. And so I think what I'm trying to say is that if this stuff doesn't make sense to you, or you don't know a lot about it, it might be a good opportunity to start to explore part of the remembering is, like, who we are, a soul level. And for me, astrology and gene keys in particular have been really helpful in me accepting myself and, like, why I was here. It's like a remembering of who I am, what I came here to do, why I'm weird, why, you know, why I never felt like I fit in trying to do what everyone else does. And for me, that's been healing in terms of knowing that, you know, feeling like I'm supposed to be here on Earth in this moment in time, and that we all are, we decided as souls to be here at this moment in time. And so I think if we can look at it from that perspective of, like, we chose to be here during this chaos. And so we can just chill out a little bit about, like, what's going on? Like, is this all going to work out? And it's like, we came here to figure this out. We came here and we came, and it's a conversation that I have with ChatGPT. It's like, well, when does this all change? And it's like, when we remember who we are, when we remember that, as you said, we are divine beings, we are souls, that we do not need to exist and live in a state of fear, which the outside world wants to continue feeding, wants us to stay in, to perpetuate this 3D, like, fear prison state that we're in. It's like, we're meant to remember so we can create something different.
So we came here for this. Let's repeat it again, right? We came here for this. Our souls chose this. I think I've said this once before too, and I can never remember his name. I think his name's Robert. He does the, I think you remember it last time. He is able to read your life between lives, your soul's plan. Do you remember doing that guy? I'll find his name. I'll put a link. He's an incredible guy who has this ability to read your in-between lives, your plans, your blueprints of why you decided to come here. But I saw a talk from him once where he said, you know, through, he does, I think he does a lot of the QHHT, and that's where he's learned a lot of things about, you know, this time, and that we do come here with a plan. And he said that one of his clients had said that, you know, there's only so many souls who could be here, and a lot of souls wanted to come. So the fact that you're here and you're watching that, you know, this our video, his video at that time, you were one of the ones who got to be here, and there's a reason for that, right? Now, we also know that some people are here for the experience of, like, actually going through the challenge of this, and maybe nothing more. You've mentioned to me off the call that there's also some people here to hold the polarity until it's time to shift. And there is a lot of us, potentially you that's watching, you're here to be part of the ones that are helping us navigate into new. And, you know, that can feel like a really challenging thing when we are experiencing such heaviness and darkness and craziness on the outside, and a sense of powerlessness. And yet at the same time, there's this feeling of, like, it doesn't have to be this way. I know I'm here for a reason. And then yet you look at that bigness and you think you're so small, but we've already mentioned already how you could take something very small and have a very large impact. You know, we have to remember we are not small at all. It may seem that way, and that's exactly what fear's agenda is, to make you question your power, to feel helpless, to feel like a victim, to feel small, to feel like you couldn't make a difference. And we said that last week. But in you turning towards that feeling and that sense of, like, this is a time of change, what might my role be in it to hold that change? This call that I watched with Paul Selig, he talks about having a vision. You know, we are in a time right now where we don't have an idea of what the future is. And everything that we're experiencing is the past, right? It's things we've known and we expect, and we have this collective agreement and understanding of what war means and what peace means. And he had this incredible message that we've never actually known peace. So we don't really know how to envision a world without, you know, the moments where it's not challenging. You know, we've only ever had the contrast, right? So the part of this, like, you know, for those of us who feel like there is something I'm here to do, is holding a new vision. Because something else that he says is that everything that has been was once an idea. And it was once it was put out into the collective and we all came to understand it and we came into this collective agreement, that is the process of manifestation into our realities. And so we're at this crucial time where to bring in a new paradigm, to bring in change, we have to listen to what it is within ourselves that is calling for us to share, say, create, do, because that is part of us, you know, seeding almost into this collective an experience, an opportunity for other people to experience anew. That ripple effect then creates, you know, pulls more people into that experience. We're putting into the collective consciousness, the collective experience, seeds of new. And we're talking about seeds right now. And that's the hard part here that kind of keeps tipping us back into fear, or can feel like we fall back into fear, is because our seeds are just, they're under the ground. They need to be nurtured. They need to be talked about. They need to be, you know, get in front of more and more people so that it has that, you know, energy to grow and become something we've got a bit more tangible sense of. So it's a really challenging time right now to feel hopeful, because we can't see the fruits of our labors yet. But I think the call that I really want to make is that our power is in the vision of the new and sharing it. We talked about speaking about it last week, but it goes beyond that. It's actually tapping into what are the gifts that you have that you may be sitting on? What are those creations that you want to put out in the world? What is that different way of living your life that you are feeling this call to do, that is a break from the old, that is moving away and saying, I'm not going to participate in those old ways or think in those old structures. Like, that is us. We have to really listen to that inner call right now and find the people, because there's where our ripple effect comes in. And that's how we, you know, connect and put energy into this new growth to take form. And it's like, that's how we hold a vision of new. You know, that's how we manifest something different. You know, we've got to get these seeds and these ideas out there, and we've got to get them in front of other people so that we can feel that shift in energy. We can come into a collective agreement again around things that are benefiting us and taking us forward so that we can manifest multiple new realities for this time that we're going through.
Well said. Yeah, as you're talking, the aspect of not just connecting with people was really important. And what I want to emphasize is that through coming to know ourselves more, who we are, who we uniquely are, that takes work, that takes deprogramming. At least from my experience, we've been pushed into a very limited example of what we can be. And we each have uniqueness to us that we've suppressed to fit into our world. And so it means going through a process of examining and challenging those aspects that allowed us to not be who we truly are. And so doing the work to begin to explore that is going to attract in the people that you are here to collaborate and work with and build with. I will say that it's like the people that have been important in my life, it's when I've been working on myself, is when I've attracted in people. That's how I met my husband. That's how I met you. Yesterday, I was having a conversation with a friend, and something came of that conversation because we were both being our authentic selves. We're both working on ourselves individually. And it's like we have unique gifts to collaborate. Like, we're not going to do it all ourselves, and we need other people.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us learned that we have to be good at everything. That's kind of how the school system is built, that we need to, that we're in competition with others. And I think we heal a lot of that programming when we start to collaborate and build with other people and we feel less alone in the world. Like, I think this division energy, this fear energy is all about keeping us isolated, that we are, because that keeps us out of hope. And we do need hope in order to have vision. We do need people to be able to reflect back to us our value, even though, you know, we need to cultivate that from within, but we do, we need to have relationship where people see us for who we are. And so, you know, do things that allow those opportunities to grow. And so I think for me, it's like, I notice that I pick up my phone and I click on social media. And that, I want to say, is one of the worst things that we can do right now, because that is distracting us from the creation in the building. It's just tapping us into a frequency of despair. It's not, I imagine for most people, it's not inspiring and taking people to a higher level. Yesterday, I was having this conversation for like 3 hours, and I'm like, wow, I didn't, you know, I actually took my social media apps off my phone yesterday, which was really good. But I'm like, oh, I didn't look at my phone. And it's like, what can happen? We're disconnected from technology. What can happen when we're touching grass or moving our bodies and not tuned into what's happening in the outside world? That's how ideas come in. That's how we're going to create new things, is by disconnecting from the outer world that is keeping us in a state of amnesia, of forgetting, of not remembering what we're here to do. And so we have to take conscious action to be aware of how those frequencies are impacting us. And so if you're listening and you're feeling like lost, like there are steps, what can you do right now to break the cycle of habituation that maybe you're in that is keeping you in this lower state? Anything that you can do to kind of break out of what you're doing can help us see things differently. And that's where new ideas and insights and inspiration comes in.
Do you mind if I read that list that you've got here for the seven? Yeah, it's okay. I'll read that. And to piggyback off that, then we have a list here of, you know, what we can be doing to contribute to this new, what's really in our control. And so one of the first ones, touching a bit on what you just said there, is like anchoring frequency and not fear, knowing that our coherence, our joy, and our clarity are broadcast into that morphogenetic field, the collective consciousness, and that every time we choose presence over panic, we stabilize the timeline. And I think when I think about that, like presence, like when we've had those moments of deep presence, like there's no fear. You can't be present and fearful at the same time. You can't be present and angry at the same time. Like and all of our power lies in that present moment. So again, as you were talking about meditation, or if it's meditation for the listener or exercise, what brings you into your body in that way where you're so present that you have access to new, to peace, to a different energy where you feel in a state of joy despite the world? Because that in and of itself is contributing an energy frequency back into the field. Just you going for a run, just you going for your meditation to feel and shift your vibration. Such a small thing, and we think it doesn't matter, but it does. Like we're energetic beings having an energetic experience. So it does. And exactly, this is not doing nothing. Another thing that we can do is we can begin to live as if the new visions, the new earth is already here. So designing our days, our businesses, our parenting, our conversations based on the world we want to birth, not the one collapsing. Now, we've said we want to be aware of what's going on. We want to use our voices. And so let's use our voices to speak to that new. You know, do we want to have a 5-hour conversation with someone about the atrocities of war and like who's right and who's wrong and what side should be doing what and whether bombs should be dropped or not? Like, is that moving us forward? Like the power that your voice has to be talking about new things. And when you embody the new, it magnetizes others to remember it too. So like you said, when we hold that vision in ourselves, we act in that way of being our unique selves, doing our work, we do draw those people as like-minded people to us. Another one is transmit your truth, even if quietly, whether that's through your art or a podcast, your products, your parenting, your presence. Again, your voice is an anchor. Not everyone will hear you, but the ones who are ready will feel it like a tuning fork. And this is back to when I was saying, you know, when we're in that fear and this grander vision of remembering, all of us remembering we're divine beings, and then this stuff doesn't exist anymore. Us, you know, transmitting our truth, even quietly doing those things, that's us being that tuning fork. As we shift up to be in that joy, to be in that expression, that creative expression, that's sending that tuning fork message down that line to like help others hear it and like look away, find something else, hear something within themselves. Another thing we can do is attune to our soul assignments. So what is yours to do in this phase of the planetary shift? Is it to build? Is it to speak? Is it to heal? Is it to create containers? Is it to witness and transmute pain, which we've mentioned here a few times? And I'll say too that really that process is, as I said, looking at the darkness with your heart open and trying to feel that deeper sense of compassion, or where is the possibility in this? Where is the potential in this? What is the seed I can take from this dark that I can plant that is for something good? So that's a process of transmutation, turning that dark into, well, it's the turning of what led into gold, like, or something else into gold. It's how do we take that dark and turn it into something positive? So if you have
taking shit and turning it into compost, you know, food for building something new. Being curious, it's not accepting that this is the only way that we can be the creators. We can create something new. We're not victims. I think that's a big part of the remembrance, is remembering that we're not victims.
Yeah.
And when we are paralyzed by fear, we are victims to the circumstances. I mean, I've been in the situation where I felt lost and stuck and there's no way out and it's hard to see a way forward. And then I've gone into meditation and the solution presents it. I go to a higher place and I can see all these possible solutions, and that can happen within minutes. And so it's really, we do have that power to shift our frequency, our way of seeing, our way of experiencing, our understanding of why this is happening, why this is here. And we do have the power to choose where we give our attention, because that's what we can do. We can transform the outside world by how we live our day is going to change the world. And that seems so simple, or that seems from our mind's place, that doesn't seem possible.
Yeah.
But from the heart and from a higher perspective, that is how our world changes. And so it's not, we want it to happen now. We don't want to be in suffering.
Yeah.
But we also need to learn how to feel the suffering, because that's what we're here to do. We're here to, the suffering has always been here. I mean, it's just now we can see it. We have technology. Yeah. We can see the suffering that's happening on the other side of the globe. And so we have the ability to see it, to feel it, to grieve, to feel the pain of, you know, it's not going to kill us to feel the pain.
Yeah.
A lot of us don't like to feel pain, but once we feel it, once we acknowledge it, once we accept it and love it, it transforms. And we are stronger because of it, because we can, once we learn how to do that, we can face anything, right? We can face the world. We can create things, because we aren't held by our limitations of what we're capable of doing. If we know how, that we can face we can see things and we can live through it, right? Mm-hmm, so this is a school that we're in, this life that we're in. We're here to be through it, this experience and this time. And does it mean that if you're struggling, that there's something wrong with you either?
Yeah.
We're all in different places and, but it is here for us. And if we can remember that this is here for us to transform as a collective.
Yeah.
And we're not alone in doing it. And yeah, I think that can be a good reframe to help us get through it when it feels dark and what's the point of this all, and know that we all have those experiences, and then we can get, there's always another side to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Two things I want to say to that, like us being able to sit with that pain and allow ourselves to feel it, or the suffering, and allow ourselves to come out and let it transform. Like we widen our window of resilience. Like that's what creates a stronger inner sense of resilience, and that we are capable. It is our ability to feel the lows and the highs and ride them that widens that window of resilience to the fact that, to the point where we're, you know, we can weather the storms, and we can allow ourselves to go down knowing that we'll go back up, and we can just stay present to that experience, you know, and know it's taking us somewhere, and we're becoming stronger. And then, as you said, you know, one of the tools you use is to do meditation. When I get stuck on something and I feel like, how, God, am I going to fix this situation? Big thing for me that I find is where I get my insights is like, I've got to create some distance. So it's usually like, instead of that hyper focus on how do I fix this, I've got to like put it down mentally and literally like go for a drive, or like literally get some physical distance just from that place where I find myself stewing. And I can be on the way to do something else. Usually I try to do something that I want to enjoy. So I, you know, shift my energy to focus on some enjoyment, and I'll have just like insight drop in of like, okay, now I can see that problem differently. I now have a solution. So even getting distance from your physical home, go out in nature, can be a way to just shift your energy to be able to come into your own wisdom and insight to be able to help you, you know, see this in a new way.
But what you said there is you shifted your energy, right? Mm-hmm. You did something that shifted your energy where you could see this, you could receive the answer from a different place.
Yeah.
You can't receive that answer from the place of despair, right?
Yeah.
And so we recognizing that we have the power to shift our energy in different ways. Like, you know, we each have different, like I've done that too as well, where it's like, I'm struggling and it's like, I get into a different state and it drops in and it's like, oh, that's the answer. And it's amazing when it happens because it's like, we have the ability to source information that is guiding us and has our best interests at heart. And it's so cool that we have that power. And that's part of our remembering is remembering that we're capable. We have the ability to, like, I feel like we've been talking about so many things that we are here to do individually that adds to this greater whole. And it's remembering that. I mean, it's easy to forget. And so it's like,
it's so easy to forget.
We all have amnesia. We came into this earth and we all have amnesia. And so, but the fear perpetuates that amnesia. It's by design.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, if too many of us are awakening, let's release the bees or whatever
new things.
Look over here.
Be worried about these.
Maybe when the bad things really happen, that's the sign that too many of us are waking up.
Yes.
But then also it's like a lot of people wake up when the really bad things happen too. So it's like it's happening. We're all waking up. And regardless of what the quote unquote dark side does, it's happening. And so I feel hope. I trust that we are in a challenging spot, but this is not where we're going to be staying.
This isn't it. Yeah, exactly. And even as you said that too, you know, when we are able to shift that energy and have that insight drop in, that is us moving into the energy of our divine self, the part of us that always knows, the part of us that isn't worried, the part of us that is at peace. That is the moment where we get to experience that part of ourselves when we step away from the fear, like when we do that move from this energy to this other energy. That's us having that, you know, visceral experience, that lived experience of part of me that does know the solution or a path forward. The couple other things that we have here on that list is strengthening the human source connection. So we've talked about meditation, ceremony, creativity, communion with nature, and somatic practices. Strengthen your signal clarity, helping you, you know, receive that insight. So just literally what we were talking about. This builds your intuitive GPS and aligns you with the path of least resistance and highest impact. And then a couple more, transmute collective fear through shadow alchemy. You're a transmuter. You feel more because you're here to clear and recode energy. So if you're an empath and you're really feeling this, unfortunately for you, part of the empath's role is to move energy, to transmute it. It's maybe we do a topic or a call on that, like understand the structure of an empath, but it's part of your role as an empath is to move some of this energy through you. So doing what you need to do to learn how best to move all of that stuff through you is doing an incredible service for the collective.
And for yourself,
of course, yes. But you're doing a big solid for the rest of us. Also, not bypassing the grief, the rage, and the sorrow. We want to alchemize that into clarity, compassion, and truth-telling. It's fuel for the fire. And then weaving with others, connecting with other souls who are awake and in action, co-create resonant fields, celebrate, strategize, witness each other. The grid strengthens through relationships. Yeah.
No, I think that if we can learn how to ride the waves, that's what we're here to do. We're learning to surf right now. I think the more we trust that we're here for a reason, we can do this. And we are, whatever happens, we're going to be okay, really. As from a soul perspective. I think I'll just bring this up, mention that a lot of fear comes from our fear of death. You know, underlying it is our fear of death. And so can we go up on that edge and explore that a little bit? That's probably what this time is also asking us to look at as well, our relationship with our own mortality and what we believe. And I think the more that we come to see and recognize and remember who we are, the grip that death has over us is not as strong. Because we understand that this is not all there is. And I think if we do believe that this is all that there is, it is a lot harder to get out of fear because, you know, that to me, that life is more bleak in that regard. And so we only have the time but we have this time in this lifetime, and then our soul lives on from my perspective, my understanding. And from that, that's freeing in a way because, you know, there is a pressure of like, oh, I came here to do something. I know I came here to do something and be impactful. And when my time is up, I know that I'm not done. And so is helpful as well. So how can one play with that? I mean, that might naturally come up for people as they navigate their feelings and emotions around, you know, examining, like, you know, if you're looking at a nuclear event, if you're fearing that, you know, underlying that is likely your fear of death. And so sitting with that, being with that, and it's okay to have that fear. I think everyone has it, but it's here for us to feel into and explore. And if it's coming up for you, not to necessarily push it away. It wants to be looked at.
And we had an episode a little while back that we talked about looking at death as a portal for our awakening. So we'll link that below. So if you want to watch that and learn a little bit more and explore that. But just know that this is a very challenging time to be human. but that you are more than human. You are also this incredible conscious energetic being that we are coming to learn that we are, and that that part of you has incredible presence and ability to help you navigate this in a new way. And that is the spiritual path, is learning about that part of who we are and coming to know and live as ourselves in that way. And this is exactly what this time is a precursor for, is the kind of evolutionary process for of us coming to know ourselves as the spiritual beings that we also are, or more so that we are, just having the human experience. And I think that's been one of the things that's helped me ground when I am able to get out of the fear state, is just from, is coming back into that knowingness of that other part and how this is a necessary part of our human evolution, all of what we're seeing. But the anchor point, the grounding space, is remembering this bigger part. There's such strength that we can connect to, and knowingness and hope. And as we said, the power to create new exists in our awareness of that other part of who we are. So, you know, doing the things that help us make that shift, that inner work, you know, our healing journeys, all of it to create that greater awareness of that spiritual part of who we are.
Yeah, well said. Yeah. I think that trusting that this is a gift for us, and that reframe in and of itself can help us experience this differently. And so do what we need to do to allow ourselves to grow through this, and remembering that this is here for us, as crazy as that might be for our minds to comprehend, it truly is. And so when we're struggling, asking the question of like, why do I need, in quotation marks, to struggle in this moment in time? What do I need to learn? What is it? Yeah. What is it here for me? It is here for us. And so on a large scale and on a large collective scale and on an individual level. And so when we do that, we can get into gratitude, and that shifts our energy, that shifts. And so that's I think I mentioned, this is going to continue to, these things are going to continue to happen until we remember. And so, it's kind of like, I think Vanessa used the analogy. It's like you step on a board and it hits you in the face, and then you step over here, and we're going to keep having these boards hit us in the face until we decide and ask the question, why are these boards hitting us in the face?
Yeah.
And what do I need to do differently? We need to change course. And so it's taking back our power. It's being self-responsible, recognizing that we get to choose our energetic state that we're existing in. And when our energetic state lowers, we have the power to choose something different. And so it's that remembrance that we are powerful, and we are not victims of what is happening in our world. And we can do something to impact it every day and start taking action in that regard.
Yeah. Well, that's a great place to wrap up. Thank you, Amanda.
Thank you, Kate.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll join you in the next episode. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. If you haven't already, please do subscribe to your favorite podcast platform or to our YouTube channel so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. Be sure to head to our website, theawakeningconversations.com, for the resources mentioned in this episode. Here you can also leave your questions, comments, or feedback so we can create more episodes that you love. And if you'd like to be a guest to share your own awakening journey with our listeners, or you have a business or offering that supports others going through their awakenings, head to our website, theawakeningconversations.com, click on Be a Guest, and we'll be in touch. Until next time, take care.